I find that I'm fascinated.
So because of where we are now, we can't have remigration. The remigration thing is a nonsense.
Why are you so strong against that?
Well, against, because it can't,
the notion of it being a reality.
Because it can't happen as a reality. Because to have it, you would have to have state power. That's the first thing. You can't get it by begging the same elite which brought all these people in to suddenly admit they were wrong and reverse it.
The likes of Steve Laws and Christian Zuma think it can happen.
Well, some of them, because they're very stupid. Yeah. But the ones pushing it know perfectly well that they won't. So several things are going on here. It's the idea that we're going to get it makes them more aggressive and more pushy. Having all these people shout about it is supposed to make the immigrant communities, but particularly the Muslims, feel uncertain and worried and thereby inclined to radicalism. So it's benefiting them in all these regards. It also wastes the time of the Brits by giving them the idea that there's an easy solution, because it is. It's a magic wand. You wave the wand, they'll go away. It's not going to happen.
My position is total remigration, and until our people are secure and our future is secure, and there is no risk of our people being demographically replaced in our own homelands, my position will always be total remigration. Everyone has to go.
But if my Ghanaian mate Lawrence, for example, he was born and bred here, so were his parents, so were his grandparents. By Lawrence's generation now, my Ghanaian friend, isn't this where he belongs now? Because it's all he knows. It's all he's ever breathed. It's what he loves, and it's what he abides by, the British Christian culture of the nation. Does he not belong here?
No. He does not belong here. It doesn't matter how long you've been here or the time scale is irrelevant. This is not your lands. These are not your people.
Most of my mates who are not white have all got England tattoos. They love England, served in the Royal Marines, born in England, parents born in England. Mm. They're English. Where do you want them to go? So I have this, and I get a lot of flack for this from the ethno-nationalists.
So do I.
Yeah, but the ethno-nationalists are very large in number online, because they come from all around the globe and they jump on everything and they're very active. They're activists, yeah? Tell the ethno-nationalists to have their own demonstration on the street. There'll be 10 of them. That's the reality.
Who are some of these people?
Who are they?
Steve Laws, is that one of them?
Absolute stick. I'm just saying, I saw him interviewing a mixed race girl.
Yeah.
She was a white girl and she had a mixed race kid. And he said, I'd deport your child. That's what he said to her. Yeah. So I didn't know much about Steve Laws. I watched that interview and it done my head in, to be honest. It done my head in. He sat there saying to the mum, I said, I bet you wouldn't have said that to her dad. I bet you wouldn't have said that to her dad. He said he'd deport that child. So I just think that mindset is damaging for everyone. There's many people that have come to this country, embraced it, love it, become part of it. Absolute patriots. You see them at every one of our demonstrations. Now, these ethno-nationalists like Steve Laws, they all hammer me. There's a common thread. They hate everyone that's not white, pretty much. They blame everything on the Jews. If it's raining, it was the Jews. Everything's the Jews, like literally everything. And they then, even the mad alliance that I've seen develop, is they're in bed with the Muslims.
Really?
But yet they're all sort of like sitting down doing talks together. You see Nick Griffin sitting with Five Pillars. Five Pillars want a caliphate and Islamic domination. Nick Griffin hates everyone that's not white. But yet here they are coming together because they hate the Jews.
Yesterday I watched an interview that I thought I'd never see, really, which was the former leader of the BNP, Nick Griffin, talking to a Muslim chap who runs a channel called Five Pillars. Something called the Blood Brothers podcast. I think the channel is Five Pillars and the podcast is Blood Brothers. But he seemed a decent guy, the Muslim guy. And they sat down and they talked for about 2 hours. And I actually find it really interesting. I'm not familiar with Nick Griffin. I don't know him. Obviously, I saw the clip on Question Time years ago, like everybody else. And, you know, he's been demonized in the press and so on. But that's the extent that I know anything about Nick Griffin. And I was actually surprised to hear some of the stuff he was coming out with. He actually sounded a little bit like me on many topics, including the relationship between capitalism and immigration and feminism and birth rate, which I've talked about earlier this year. He talked about the Civil War narrative and David Betts as a kind of psyop. I think I'm going to do a separate video on that because my buddy Scrump and Evelyn did a whole stream on that recently as well. And I think that needs to be looked at in isolation. But he also, and he talked about many other things, like the relationship between Britain and America, and about how, you know, yes, Zionists are one faction of the regime, as it were, but there are other kind of entrenched interests as well, the biggest one of which is the American military-industrial complex, to which the British military-industrial complex is wedded, tied at the hip. And in fact, later on, I'm going to look at the statements that have been made recently by the MI6 chief, who I didn't actually believe was a real woman, but she's actually given a speech and we can see her now. I'm going to look at that. And I'm also going to look at this general who's also given a speech basically saying that we need to get ready for war, that your sons and daughters are going to be, you know, have to be prepared to die, basically. So something, I mean, I don't know what they're up to, but clearly something in the British state is in panic mode at the moment. And what I thought was interesting about this interview is that Griffin seemed to have quite a holistic look at how the regime worked overall. However, this video is not going to look at all of that. You can check out that in your own time. One of the things that interested me was a comment that Griffin made about remigration. He talked about Steve Laws, and Griffin suggested that they are selling a pipe dream, that this is a kind of, you know, seen as like a magic wand, and it's just a magic phrase that people keep on using. And well, it was interesting to me because I've also had a bit of a run-in with Steve Laws recently over a related topic where I suggested that the British state is simply not going to, even under Farage, even under you know, a fascist government, should one come in, not going to happen by the way, but let's pretend one does, no state is going to remigrate 38% of its own children. It's just not going to happen. And he took exception to that. You know, much name-calling ensued, etc., etc., as is often the case with Laws and Zuma historian and this kind of set, I guess, of nativist type nationalists who, you know, just aggressive and uncompromising, you know. But the fact of the matter is that it, name-calling, rhetoric aside, you know, you're brown, you're a subversive, all of this bullshit, there is a serious question as to how realistic it is to expect to, you know, wave this magic wand of remigration and magically that's going to fix all the country's problems. And in this video, I want to assess the arguments made by Laws and the arguments made by Nick Griffin in this. And I'm going to give an assessment as to where I think the most realistic options are, essentially. Before we do that, I'm going to go to a quick ad break. The Trivium, buy it now. Christmas is coming up. You need to do your courses. And when we come back, I'm going to break it down. All right, so let's just lay out the two positions, the Steve Laws position and the Nick Griffin one. I should also lay out my own, given, you know, where this conversation is, okay? And my own is the simplest. My position is simply, yes, mass remigrations are possible, as shown by the experience of Europe after World War II. I actually wrote an article about this years ago, where I took data from a book by Tony Judd called Post-War, and I showed all of the Germans and Turks and so on who were sent back to their own country after World War II. There was a mass remigration at that time, a kind of ethnic sorting of the continent. Wasn't on the scale of the ones being proposed for Britain now, but it was a significant amount of people in the millions, okay? Hundreds of thousands, if not the millions, adding them all up, okay? You can have a look at the figures. I put them I've put them here. However, where this came about, this disagreement I had with Steve Laws, is when the Lotus Eaters put up this stat saying that 38% of kids in Britain are either non-white or of a mixed heritage. And I said, if you think that the British state is going to remigrate 38% of kids currently in school, you're living on cloud cuckoo land. That is just not going to happen in a million years. You know, it is a matter of mass and scale. It is a matter of, I mean, basically what you do, imagine any country shipping out 38% of its kids is going to face serious structural issues. You know, you're basically collapsing the secondary education system, putting millions of people out of work. You're, you know, putting the country on a demographic cliff edge in terms of manpower. At the moment, as I mentioned before the break, you know, they're talking about gearing up for war. Betts is talking about civil war and all this sort of stuff. And in those sorts of conditions, even in the rosiest of peacetime conditions, no country is going to ship out 38% of kids currently in its school. It's just a raw fact and reality. And people can kick and scream and call names, but it doesn't matter. That is just a fact. And facts, I'm afraid, don't care about your kicking and screaming and rhetoric and, oh, it's going to happen and you're going to get deported and blah, 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 blah. It's still just not going to happen. Okay? There could be some remigration. There could be some deportations and remigrations happening in the near future, but it's not going to happen on that scale. And you're just going to have to get real on that. So that's my view. Okay. Nick Griffin's view is, and the Steve Laws view is just maximalist. The Steve Laws view is very simple. Every single one of them have to go back, right? That's his view. And it's so uncompromising that I think that Steve Laws would seek to remigrate me, even though I was born in this country, even though I, you know, my mother is British, even though I've lived my whole life here, and don't really have anywhere else to go. I think Steve Laws is so maximalist that he would, you know, he doesn't stop anywhere. He would seek to remigrate me. Okay, that also has near zero chance of happening, by the way. Basically 0% chance of that ever happening in my lifetime. And this is just a realistic assessment, okay? But that is his view, okay? The Nick Griffin view is a little bit more nuanced. He also thinks that the situation is too far gone for remigration to be this magic cure-all, okay? I'm sure he would agree with me that there's some scope to do some remigration or deportations, etc., but it's never going to reach the scale where you're affecting that rather large number of school kids that we're talking about, 38%. So Nick Griffin, his view is there's going to have to be some sort of new settlement. There's a new reality because the situation is too far gone. And therefore, there has to be a kind of new, it's a little bit closer to people like Mike from Imperium and others who've talked about a tribal future. So Nick Griffin is saying in the future, there are going to be these minority groups, but the white group is going to be the largest minority. And it's going to have to think about, you know, in terms of navigating relationships with all of these other groups. Okay. And one of the reasons that he was reaching out and talking to this Muslim guy is because he's saying, well, look, you know, this is the reality we find ourselves in. We need to have a way of navigating this because the powers that be want us divided, want us fighting each other. There's this civil war psyop coming. So he has this kind of a different view. Okay. I also think it's worth mentioning that Tommy represents, like, if Steve Laws represents one faction and Nick Griffin is kind of like another faction, you know, on the nationalist rights of British politics, something like that. The third faction, of course, is Tommy Robinson, and you know, I guess you call it the Zionist faction, and he's actually weighed in on this. And I think it's important to mention that Tommy doesn't seem to be able to tell the difference between the Steve Laws and the Nick Griffin, even though they're not on the same page. So at the moment you have, you know, three different sets of people, you know, on the right who don't agree on this. What's interesting to me, though, is that the Tommies, okay, of this world and the Nick Griffins of this world actually agree on this central question of whether you're going to get these re-migrations. Tommy and this guy Liam Tufts, who was the guy who Steve Laws was talking to in that other video, have a more kind of human angle. They're like, well, look, a lot of my they keep on coming back to, a lot of my mates are black, or, you know, what are you going to do to this actual specific, you know, mixed race kid? You know, how are you going to tell that to their parents and so on? The thing is, even though they get attacked for these positions online, right, this is a serious question, because when push comes to shove, Tommy and Liam Tufts and all these are actually dealing with a type of reality there. And, you know, you're talking about the most recognisable far-right figure in British politics, okay? And he's saying, I don't know about this, because how are you actually going to make that happen? And this question is often, like, you know, there's tough rhetoric and so on brought back. But when push comes to actual shove, how are you going to make it happen? Because the moment you do that, you're going to start uniting a lot of people against you. All those people, every, like 38% of all kids, think about it now. Then you have to have the network effect of, well, if every single one of those 38% of people have just one person like Tommy Robinson, who's going to be like, at their, you know, I'm going to fight with them against you, then you've got to like double that amount. And the nature of network effect, you're now dealing with a very large group of people united against you. So, you know, practically speaking, again, I just don't know how politic it is to bring about, like in a situation like this. So Nick Griffin, he's thinking in terms of like, well, okay, we're in the scenario that Bowden talked about years ago. He said, look, are they preparing you to be a white minority and for you to have to play minority politics? Something that Bowden said many years ago. And Griffin is like, look, that, unfortunate, we've had the bad ending. We're in that timeline. So we have to think in terms of coalition politics, okay? We have to think, we actually have to start thinking about how we manage the different communities and how we actually have a relationship and move on in this world, okay? The Tommy position is to say, no, we need to fight the Muslims, okay? I mean, that's what Tommy's always been about. He's always been about that. But Tommy is saying, right, there is a coalition element there. Tommy also says, you need, right, in order to fight the Muslims, we need to have the Sikhs on board, we need to have the Hindus on board, we need to have my black buddy and, Footlong or whatever, Liam Tufts. You know, well, we need to have all these guys on board to fight the Muslims. That's what Tommy Robinson is saying. And against all of that, the Steve Laws position is, no, they all need to go. They absolutely all need to go. No questions asked, no sentimentality, nothing. They all need to go, okay? Which, rhetorically, I understand, like I've said in previous videos, why you might adopt that position, why it might kind of be good to have at least one person to be immovable or something. I'm just saying that that's going to butt up against hard realities, and it's butting up against, I mean, if it's butting up against opposition from literally Tommy Robinson and Nick Griffin, the two most well-known far-right figures in the country, what are you going to do when you start like touching, like let alone Farage, let alone Zia Youssef, right, let alone the Tory party or Keir Starmer, or, you know, that your left-wing neighbor who you live next door to, or my Lib Dem voting neighbor down the street? I mean, Let's just get in the real world here. How are you going to get from that fringe position there, where even Nick Griffin and Tommy Robinson are against you, to the entire country being for this harebrained plan? It's just not going to... And this is where some realism is necessary. Because otherwise, what you're doing is leading people up the garden path. One of the things that Griffin said, which was of interest to me, is that he suggested that this remigration narrative in itself, whether any of the people involved with it are aware of it or not, I don't think he's suggesting that the people, you know, who push it, like Laws and co, I don't think he's suggesting that they are part of any operation. But I think he is suggesting that the net effect of making remigration the calling card is simply to run the, for the regime, is to run the clock down, to waste time, to waste energy, to redirect the white population from moving in a more constructive direction. That seemed to be what Nick Griffin was saying in this really interesting interview. He seemed to be saying that the net effect of all the remigration stuff won't actually result in the 38% of kids being shipped out, which is the maximal position. He was suggesting that the net result of it would simply just be a nastier, kind of more hostile environment where people kind of tribalize and move into more segregated areas and, you know, have hostilities, in which case the Betts narrative, the civil war, like making it more like the Troubles in Northern Ireland scenario, which currently is not true, has more of a chance of coming true. So Griffin's argument is that the law stuff is actually, you know, making this happen, the law stuff is making the David Betts stuff happen, is his view. Okay. And that's an interesting thing to think about. It is an interesting thing to think about in general. My assessment, the thing with the Griffin stuff is that he's got this big overarching theory of how things work, some of which was convincing, some of which, as ever with such theories, he was kind of jumping over a few little gaps or making a few little assumptions, because he's, as anybody, trying to piece it together from limited, you know, some parts of the information are obscured. So he's just trying to make sense of it all. But I do basically agree that his the net effect of this kind of grug, you know, the kind of Laws grug type is to, you know, worsen relations between the various different ethnic groups in Britain, which will then, you know, precipitate more of the David Betts type scenario. That is true. You can kind of see it. I mean, one of the exchanges I saw with Laws recently is when he was attacking this doctor, this Palestinian doctor, I forget her name now, who has recently had a license suspended for, you know, making anti-Israel comments or whatever it is. And, you know, they kind of went back and forth, and she was just saying, well, look, you're just being stupid. And he was just saying, like, you need to go home type thing. And she was saying, well, you know, how am I going to go back to Gaza? It's been bombed to shit. So it was like kind of it was an interesting little exchange, because how can I put it? Like, I do think that the Griffin way of looking at the whole picture, seeing the geopolitical context, looking at the military industrial complex and all of these sorts of things, does allude to, does describe, does see reality as it is. Whereas this Laws position of just, well, I'm maximally going to just say no other issues matter, it's just remigration now, just remigration, we're going to ignore all of the complexities of the world and drill everything down to, you know, you're brown, you must go home, right? Is that going to get anywhere? Is it going to solve anything? Is it going to make it happen by magic? is it going to solve the demographic issue? And Nick Griffin's assessment is like, well, no, it's not going to do any of that. And I'm inclined to agree with him, if I'm honest. I mean, that lot already don't like me, so what do I care? I just tell it like it is here. And you can say, well, this is kind of motivated reasoning and so on, as I'm sure some of you will. It's not that, it really isn't. Because there are basically no examples ever of countries, a country of the size of Britain and the scale of this issue, moving people, kids, 38%, when it's at that level of penetration, you're not going, like, Griffin had a different plan of, you know, it's going to have to be slower, you're going to have to try to look at ways of upping the birth rate. Obviously, you do stop immigration and so on, you do some re-migrations, but the idea that you're going to solve the totality of the issue simply by re-migration is magical thinking. It is magical thinking. And at the moment, a lot of the British right are in this mindset where they just think, well, I'm going to repeat. It is magic. It's like repeating. If I repeat the mantra enough times, I can somehow magically make it true. Right. And that, I mean, OK. You're not, though. It's just not. I mean, there has to be a moment where you just say, well, that is just not going to happen. I literally give it. I mean, I went back and forth with various different ways of trying to look at the issue. And, you know, the maximum I was able to kind of get to was about 6 or 7 million people being shipped out. And the chances of that happening are fairly low. The chances of getting to 38% of all kids currently in school in the next 10 years, that is while they're still in school, is next to zero. By the time those kids are grown up, right, by the time that 38% are adults, the boomers will be dead. They'll be gone. And there will be a new demographic reality. So Nick Griffin is actually right about that. And he's clearly thought long, hard and deep about the issue. Whereas I don't get the impression that the people just screaming remigration now have thought about any of these things at all. And in which case, what are they going to do when they just come up against these hard realities? I just don't. It just seems to be the realm of fantasy politics. There's nothing else I'm against on this channel. It's fantasy politics. Now, in my experience, these sorts of things come and go. You know, they're kind of burn brightly for a while, come to some crescendo, everybody gets on this steam train, and then they discover that the real world is not as easy as that. And the fantasy goes away. But a new thing will come along. This is the thing. A new thing will come along. And all these same people jump on different wagons all the time. Seen it happen so many times. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting to consider this. Now, if you disagree, and I'm sure many of you do, that 38% of all kids currently in school are not going to be remigrated, if you actually disagree with that and you think it's going to happen in our lifetimes, I need to see a plan. I need to see like some realistic vision of how that would happen. And saying, oh, well, I'm a tough guy and I'm going to make it happen through the power of mantras. Or like, if I was in charge, this would happen. I mean, it's a pretty big if. It's a pretty big if. Okay. Till next time, guys.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.